This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great having you with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Absolutely. Well, we're at the end of the primary season, which means, of course, that we'll be getting your general election predictions starting very soon. But
lucky me.
But first, of course, there's a little bit of review to do from last week's primaries. And the one getting all the attention, of course, is Christine O'Donnell's upset win over Mike Castle in Delaware. Last week, you thought that Castle would be able to hold off O'Donnell in the end. Obviously, that didn't happen. But now there's this big fight brewing over what is the direction of the Republican Party from here, establishment versus Tea Party, to put it in pretty basic terms. Is that really the case right now inside the GOP?
No, I don't believe so at all. Yes, candidates backed by the Tea Party, as well as traditional cultural and economic conservatives, are winning nominations more often than not. But that's a sign of the times. The Republican Party is moving to becoming a more conservative party, just as the Democratic Party has moved to the left. I'd love to see a discussion on where more centrist Democrats are permitted to have a voice in the Democratic Party of Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi these days. Looking at the Republican side, there still are moderate Republicans. Mark Kirk of Illinois, whose election to the Senate I have predicted, is one. I spent some time with Linda McMahon, the Republican candidate for the Senate in my home state of Connecticut. Again, moderate on social issues, conservative on economic issues, her lips to my ear. I still say there are some, and they're permitted to have a voice, and many hold office, but some just don't win primaries. And Mike Castle had some other problems, too, in Delaware.
Well, that's certainly the case. The most recent polls show that Chris Coons, the Democratic nominee there, has about an 11-point lead over O'Donnell. O'Donnell is raising money like crazy after all the attention she's gotten over the past 48 to 72 hours. In the end, though, will it be enough? Does she have a chance at actually winning this thing?
Well, again, James Baker, the former Secretary of State, once said, overnight is an eternity in politics. We still have more than a month to go before the November election. And remember something. A lot of people, including this reporter, dismissed Christine O'Donnell early on as a fringe candidate, someone not to be taken seriously. Some pundits still are. But I would say that after defeating a two-term governor and 10-year House member who has probably shaken every hand in Delaware, that's pretty impressive. I would not write the concession statement on her yet. Let's see what happens.
John, let's move up quickly to New Hampshire. That was the site of a very close Republican primary. In the end, you had the interesting combination of the establishment and Sarah Palin being behind the winner, former State Attorney General Kelly Ayotte. She barely defeated a Tea Party favorite with the interesting name of Ovid LaMontagne. Will she be able to hold Judd Gregg's Senate seat up there?
Absolutely. Kelly Ayotte has an interesting story in the sense she argued the state's parental notification law all the way up to the Supreme Court in the eponymous case Ayotte versus Planned Parenthood. She was the state's top law enforcement officer for a number of years, and I've spent some time interviewing her. Again, conservative on just about everything across the board, and a mother of two and married to a pilot. I think she could have stepped right out of a novel on politics today. And interestingly, New Hampshire, after being Democratic for so long, appears to be trending Republican. Not only will Kelly Ayotte win, but I believe that Republicans will take back both of the Granite State's two congressional districts. And one of the candidates in the second district is a card-carrying moderate, former Congressman Charles Bass.
He is trying once again to get that seat back that he lost 4 years ago. John, a couple other results from Tuesday, neither of which is really a surprise. First of all, you have Charlie Rangel winning his Democratic primary in his district. He's been there for 40 years. Adam Clayton Powell IV trying to knock him off after Rangel defeated his dad again 4 decades ago. Should we be surprised that Charlie Rangel got 50% of the vote despite 13 ethics violations alleged against him?
No more than the elder Adam Clayton Powell, when he was denied his seat on ethical grounds, won a special election and then won his seat again in 1968 with relative ease. And he was not even showing up for work. But one thing, and we find eerie parallels. In 1968, the elder Powell was nominated again with a low turnout, and he drew only 60% of the vote against two very underfunded opponents. That was a sign that he was vulnerable, and the next time the young Charlie Rangel took him out. Likewise, Charlie Rangel just got over 50% of the votes against Assemblyman Powell and two other candidates. 2 years from now, if the powers that be in Harlem unite behind one other Democrat, he could well be finished. And I might add, the turnout in that district was very, very low. He got a reprieve, as Adam Clayton Powell did. I still think he'll wind up the same way, and it will be 2012.
John, another issue that we talked about last week was the D.C. mayor's race. Adrian Fenty, as expected, losing to Council Chairman Vincent Gray. You said that was a bad thing because the reason that Fenty was likely to lose and did was because of two moves that you thought were very, very good. How do you see the city moving forward now under Vincent Gray?
Well, back to the future, basically. Gray got his start in the cabinet of former Mayor Marion Barry, the embodiment of the old guard in the city that the last two mayors were elected to get Washington ahead of. And in a sense, I would say that Marion Barry, now a councilman who endorsed Vincent Gray strongly, is getting the last laugh. It's very unfortunate if you have to live in the district and pay taxes, as I do. Michelle Rhee, the very innovative and dynamic Chancellor of Education, who actually does fire people, is almost certainly going to be gone under a Mayor Gray. And Kathy Lanier, the police chief, again, a very dynamic, hard-nosed figure who is bringing reform to the cops in the district, more than likely gone. I think we're in for some gray times here in Washington, D.C.
John, last topic, away from politics, at least to some extent, over to the Middle East. We saw that the leaders of Israel and the Palestinian Authority were in Washington a couple of weeks ago. They continued those talks just a couple of days ago. The description coming out from Secretary Clinton was constructive. George Mitchell said impressive. But a lot of the news reports suggested that there's still some just fundamental areas where they can't find common ground, including what the proper nature of Israel ought to be. So what do you make of where we stand now?
I should record a mantra for you. The talks went nowhere, and both sides went back to their respective countries. There may be other attempts for negotiation in the near future, started by the administration and the Secretary of State. How many times have you asked me that question? How many times have I responded? We have gotten to the point where Prime Minister Netanyahu accepts a two-state solution like just about everyone else. The issue, the controversy, is whether Israel can then make a complete withdrawal from the last of the lands that they secured in the 1967 war and then effectively leave the Palestinian Directorate now under President Abbas alone. That would also leave President Abbas in a very precarious position, because he has to deal with the more militant elements among his countrymen, namely Hamas, which controls half of the Directorate in a way not unlike the way the United States of America and the Confederate States were divided in the Civil War. Very difficult situation. It makes what went on in the Balkans in the 90s look very simple.
John, fascinating stuff. We'll talk again next week. Thanks for being here.
As I am relieved the primaries are over and look forward to the general election, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.